The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, thank you, Albert Breer. Thank you, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Mueller, J.R. Strauss.
The Bull.
The Bull.
The Bull. I mean, just the thought of it.
It was once Leon Durham, now it's J.R. Strauss.
Listen, this is still a breakfast show you guys are on, for crying out loud. I'm listening.
Is it a breakfast show?
8 o'clock this morning.
So,
J.R. the Bull.
Oh, God. I can't do it.
I understand.
No safe harbor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Dr. Radio's joined us.
10 o'clock, Marconi. You can call me Marconi if you want.
Johnny Marconi.
Crosstalk is brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing is back with a newly remodeled rooftop deck at Hawthorne for both sports betting and the Points Bet Sportsbook and horse racing. Get in on all the action with Hawthorne and Club Hawthorne.
Carmen Yurko. What's up, fellas?
How are you, boys?
It's a beautiful day for a parade,
gentlemen.
I got to go host it on TV.
Good for you.
Oh, it sounds exciting.
It's a beautiful day.
They're going to throw candy, Jolly Ranchers and such.
That's the best part of
peach
a parade.
Peach Jolly Ranchers,
throw
my
candy
favorite.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Love the Peach Jolly Rancher.
I don't know if they have that.
And they quit making them.
I don't know if they have that like they used to back in the day, Yurko, when they, you know, the grandmom would have like a penny candy.
Yeah.
You know, you go to her
butterscotch.
House. Butterscotch. Yeah.
Yeah.
She would sell candy from the house.
Sell candy from the house.
Yeah, the little bug juices. You remember that, right?
I remember the little bug juices.
Yeah, the little juices.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's still a thing anymore in 2021, but back in the day, that you know, an old grandma would just sell that stuff right out of the house.
Yeah, now it's Capri Suns.
Ah, is it?
Capri Sun is what, you know, you'd be moving. Capri Sun and ramen noodles. Packages of ramen noodles.
It's really ramen noodles.
For the children.
Wait just a second.
24 cents a package. Boy, I tell you, though, man, it packs a punch. Good meal there.
Sure does. Sure.
24 cents. Boo, I'll take it.
Well, sure.
I will take it.
Any streets closed yet?
Not that I saw.
Yeah, none as I was coming in. Of course, Michigan Avenue is the one that's going to be...
Yeah, because it's at Millennium.
Done. Yeah. All the way down Michigan Avenue.
I'm hosting the show with Kendall and Maddie Lee. Kendall Gill. From the studios at NBC Sports Chicago, where you both
so you guys won't be out there.
We will not.
Okay.
A beautiful day for it, though, seriously. Good for them. I'm glad. It's gorgeous. Wow. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's already 60 degrees.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's 61
already. So, you're in pretty good shape.
My God, it's incredible.
And by noon, it just means, okay, oh, my God, I got to go out the back way then. I got to take Clark.
Yeah, it might be a little bit more. There's going to be some more closures coming up here in the next hour, I'm sure. Yeah. They're starting the parade at 11, and then they come up.
I love a parade.
And at Pritzker Pavilion,
Who doesn't?
You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about this. Maybe we'll do it long form tomorrow, but I just want to ask you guys about this, you know, the gut feeling versus analytics in the NFL. This fourth down stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen it work well, and some is just like you scratches your head, right?
Yeah.
So you're on the team that's got like fourth and six or seven, right?
Right.
We'll get to the Monday night game in a second, but we saw this in Detroit. So Goff is on his own end. It was 37-yard line, something like that, fourth and seven. And he just throws it out of bounds. Like, no, it's fourth down. Go for it at some point, right? Don't just throw out of bounds like it's first or second down.
Throw a guy open.
And so this is happening also with the Chargers as well. Staley's going for it on his own end, he's 27-yard line. I mean,
now he's going for it a lot.
So what do you guys think about that as far as analytics versus gut feeling on fourth down, especially in your own end?
I don't go for it on fourth down unless I have to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way, you know, I kind of grew up. I don't go for it on fourth unless I have to.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little different. I'm a little bit more aggressive. Like, you've got one situation.
Mr. Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I like going for it. I think coaches should be more aggressive. Staley maybe is being a little too aggressive. The Chargers' problem lies within what they're doing on early downs. When I don't know if we talked about it on my hit with you guys last week for trends. I definitely brought it up with Waddle and Sylvie. Like, Joe Lombardi's calling plays on early downs like he still has a 39-year-old aging Drew Brees who can't throw the ball down the field anymore. He's got Justin Herbert. They've been so pedestrian in early downs, and Herbert's been Superman on third and fourth down. Well, guess what? Eventually, what's that word we love? Regression sets in. Yeah. And it set in a big way against a good third and fourth down defense in Baltimore. And they got their clocks clean.
Yeah.
I said clocks. And so, like, what's happening in L.A. with the Chargers is they're probably doing things that are putting them in not very advantageous situations to be in third and short or fourth and short. Now, he is going for a lot because he does have Justin Herbert. Then you've got the opposite. You've got David Culley in Houston who is punting on fourth and one in the third quarter down 14 points.
Like, scared.
Dude. So you've got to find a happy medium. Maybe Staley's going for it too much. I know David Culley's not going for it enough.
Yep.
And you have, like, there's got to be some sort of happy middle that these guys can settle in on.
They went for a fourth down yesterday, Allen did, and it was quarterback sneak. And he goes, not on the fourth down, it was earlier.
Yeah.
And it could have been a fourth down or a third down. They go for the sneak. Mm-hmm. He takes the ball, he goes to his left, and nobody blocked anybody. And he got crushed.
At the end of the game?
No.
No, he's talking about different ones.
It was earlier in the game.
That was foreshadowing for the end of the game.
And at the end of the game, all right, you're going to go for it, but you need your quarterback not to panic and or slip the way he ends up slipping.
Yeah, he kind of slipped. He lost
He slipped and fell on his face. I mean, that's awful. As it was happening, I said, kick the field goal and take this thing to overtime. Kick the field goal, take it to overtime, get yourself a fresh set.
That's the more conservative approach.
Right. And the coach for the Titans, I believe, no. The coach for the other team.
Sean McDermott.
Thank you. Yeah. From Buffalo said, I don't know if my defense could have stopped them the way they were moving
That's
the ball.
True.
So
Derrick Henry.
So he basically indicted his whole defense. That's a pretty damn good defense, right?
It is a good defense.
Last night they weren't, but it's a pretty damn good defense. He basically just lambasted to him, a big swipe against them and said, well, I don't know if we would have been able to stop him. I know that if you kick the field goal, you got a chance to take the thing into overtime.
See the analytics on it?
And I said it. I said it at the time. I'm kicking the field goal.
Yeah, my brother and I were arguing, and my buddy Dave, we were having this discussion, and I'm like, you go for the win here. Do you see the analytics on it?
I did not.
Okay.
So what were the analytics on? Because I can tell you what happened. There was a 0% chance that they made the first down, and the game was over. So it was an absolute.
That's the result.
That's what happened.
Right. Yeah. You're biasing yourself by the result. ESPN
I'm
next
not
gen
biased
stats.
At all.
The Bills' Game's decision over. To go for it on fourth and inches from the Titans three down three was unequivocally the optimal call. Conversion probability 75%.
Yeah.
Win probability 63% if you go for it. 42% if you kick the field goal. Mm-hmm. Recommendation, go for it by 21.3%.
That's a pretty big spread. I would have gone.
So would I.
It didn't work.
I would put the word that is most accurate for that than loser. Because you guys both lost yesterday.
We did.
Loser.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will put the word for me, no matter what the numbers would say, chance at a victory for me.
Yeah,
loser for you two.
It's still playing.
Just embrace it for a little bit, though. Embrace it.
You know, they're on the road.
Embrace it.
I go for the win.
I'm with Carmen.
You guys lost.
Go for the win on the road and go for the tie at home. Yeah. Is that how that works?
I don't think I even need the analytics, honestly. If I'm the coach there, I'm on the road. Yeah. I'm fourth and one with that quarterback. I'm going for it.
Okay, so without even looking at numbers, and I wish we had the actual breakdown of how successful fourth downs have been. Fourth down and four or more.
Well, that's not going to be as successful.
But we've been seeing that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Coaches
are getting more and more aggressive.
And to Yerk's point, it's like, okay, and maybe I'm just old school. I just don't – if I can't get it in three downs and it's fourth and five or fourth and four, it's like, I need to punt the football. Especially when I'm on my own end. That's the whole thing.
I'm at my own
30, and now I'm putting the pressure on my defense.
That's different.
But we've seen that a lot, though, in the league.
Yeah, right. He's right.
People lost their minds. That's what happened.
Well, listen, it's easier.
At some point, it's got to be the gut feeling, Carm, right?
Listen, it's easier to score today than it's ever been in the NFL.
Yeah.
Unless you're the Bears.
Yes. Or the Jets. Or the Dolphins. Points are bountiful in the league. I think coaches more and more are taking the approach like punting and field goals are not good enough.
Yep.
Now, not every situation is created equal. So I do get what you're saying, Hoodie. And I think it depends on the kind of personnel you have, the kind of quarterback you have. What really drives me crazy is when coaches like Zach Taylor 2 weeks ago decides to kick a field goal instead of letting Joe Burrow try to do something. You have a franchise quarterback in the making in Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Let him eat. It's teams like, and now Staley does do it because I think he knows what he has at quarterback. If you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Herbert, Burrow at this point even, I'm going for it. more often than not. Mm-hmm. Not every situation is created equal. I totally... Dak Prescott, I don't think twice with their weapons and that quarterback. I don't think twice.
Now, Jared Goff, I'm thinking 1,000 years.
1,000 times. You're right. Yeah, and Mike McCarthy's way too willing. Oh, no, let's just have our kicker kick Baker a 53-yard field goal.
1,000 times I'm waiting.
Me too. But I've got Dak Prescott, and I can't get 4th-and-1 at the... Come on. Of course
what,
I can.
Then what are we doing?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's... Not every situation is created totally equal, but if I'm a coach with a good offense and a franchise quarterback, I'm going more and more. I just am. I'm not settling for 3. I'm not giving the other team the ball. I'm scoring points.
Coach Orgeron.
We're out on the bayou. We got a place where they got a fishing hole. We're going to bury that guy in a fishing hole.
Well, here's Coach Orgeron at his press conference to announce he's been fired. He's getting $16.8 million to go away.
God bless him.
What's at the end of the year, right?
I'm going to go fish.
Yeah, he'll coach the rest of the season. And there's a lot of stories out there from The Athletic and others about his carousing ways.
Oh, yeah.
What's your plan now, Coach?
I want to take a little time off. You know, I'm 60 years old. I've coached for 37 years. I think I'm going to have enough money to buy me a hamburger. And every once in a while, maybe a double meat cheeseburger, a Sonic. But I want to take a little time off to find out what direction I want to be in. You asked me if I think today I'm not going to coach, but that might be different a month from now, but right now I want to take a little time off, spend with my kids.
A double meat cheeseburger.
Not just a double cheese.
Yeah. A
lot of veggie burgers.
That's
out
true.
There,
you know? Double meat burger.
And he had to make sure it's at Sonic.
Of course.
Did you hear this?
Could be a sponsor.
He made like a veiled threat, a prankster that called his radio show. He talked about burying him in some backwoods bayou down in, fishing hole.
He was at the gas.
It's like, I don't know that we should.
Athletic reporter, he was at the gas station. He's putting gas in his car. A very attractive lady in Lululemon yoga gear gets out. He's like, you look like you work out.
Yeah.
I do. And she said, I'm also pregnant and married. Whoa, and he goes, so?
Yeah, big deal.
That's right. What a combination.
Turned out that she was the wife of a higher up at the university.
Oh, boy. That's never a good thing.
Called her husband and goes, your football coach just hit on me.
It's like Animal House and Dean Wormer's wife. You're in trouble. She was a more willing participant.
Is he worse than the former president, Bill Clinton?
Well, I don't know who's better or worse.
Well, there you go. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, they said there were girlfriends that would show up at practice. Mm. And he wouldn't even be paying attention to the drills.
Monica was not pregnant, though.
Or married. Yeah. I call that the Mike Singletary school of coaching. Mike never wanted to really, coordinate anything. He just wanted to be the guy motivating everybody.
Let's face it. It went downhill quick when he lost a quarterback that delivered maybe the finest college season in history. He lost his offensive coordinator to the NFL.
Yep.
And he lost what's the guy who was coaching at Baylor now? The defensive coach. I'm blanking on his
Matt
name.
Rule? Or no?
No. Who is his D coordinator on the LSU team? He's the coach.
He's
at
from
Baylor.
Wisconsin.
He's the Baylor coach. Joe Arnotta, right? Is that
no?
His name?
Dave.
Dave Arnotta. I think
he's a former defense coordinator from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was the D coordinator. He lost his D coordinator to a head coaching job. He lost his passing coordinator to the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a head coach soon.
And didn't have Jamar Chase last year.
He lost Jamar Chase, and he didn't have Jamar Chase last year, and he lost Joe Burrow. That's a pretty quick fall from grace.
And Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
It sounds like there were some of the missteps.
Justin Jefferson
along the way.
Too, right?
Justin Jefferson,
he's good.
One. I mean, come on.
Did you miss the
Minnesota?
Did you miss the small detail about her being pregnant? Yeah. Did you miss that detail?
I mean,
guys have a fetish.
Exactly.
What's the movie Ryan Reynolds?
Me?
Where he does the switch with Jason Bateman? Remember?
Oh yeah,
he's got a thing for pregnant women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Good movie.
What's it called? The Switch.
It's called The Switch.
There's a million of those movies.
All they had was a conversation. Nothing happened. He's pumping gas. She's walking out of the car. Conversation happens. That's it.
She's just holding her belly. Hey, I like him thick.
Some people are turned on by it.
Not that thick.
I'm telling you, especially if when you're with the extra roommate, there's no activity whatsoever. Once they get
he saw her like a beggar's pizza.
Expecting.
And I believe Carm, the term is maciophilia.
Is that really? Yeah. Is that the term for that?
I believe so. Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
I never would. I did not know that was the term.
I never heard that term.
Never heard that,
Danny.
That could be added to the JR story there.
He's
That'd be even better.
He is the expert.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Meller.
Off the top of his dome.
I'll leave it to Meller on that.
Off the top of his dome.
He knows.
I'm telling you.
Listen, there's all, you know.
Hey, man, hey. He's
God only knows what's going on.
He's our upside down pineapple in there. Let me tell you right now.
Yes, he is.
There's something going on.
All right, we got to go.
All right, something's going on. Enjoy the parade. Enjoy
the coverage.
Send the kids skiing. All right, time to go. Time to go.
Honey, I'll see you in the morning.
No, I'll see you on NBC Sports Chicago, pal.
11:30, baby. Let's get it going. Have a great day, everybody. Carmen Yurko next. See ya.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
I mean, October 19th, it's going to be 70 degrees. It's a beautiful day for a parade. The Sky get a gorgeous day to celebrate their championship. Congrats again to
That's
the Chicago
right.
Sky.
VanderSloot
in their big
Quigley,
win.
Candace
Parker,
Coach Wade,
Naperville's very own.
Oh, they're going south to north on Michigan Avenue, Carmen.
Yes,
Does
they
it
are.
Get any better than that? Kind of matches the Chicago Blackhawks' first parade, only when it gets to Michigan Avenue.
The Hawks had that first parade, right at Wacker in Michigan, right?
They came from the United Center.
They
so
did.
They went down the streets. When I'm out on the streets, whoa, ho, 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 I walk the way I want to walk. And in this situation, they'll parade the way they want to parade. Nope. And they're coming up from Windstar up Michigan Avenue. Grant Park will be off to their right-hand side.
You got to love a good parade.
Yeah,
as long as you're not sitting in traffic somewhere blocked off by the closures. Then you're like, this effing
parade.
Listen,
it's not like they didn't send out a warning and they didn't tell you what the map was going to look like. I know when I vacate the premises at noon that I'll have to take the back way, Clark, all the way into Chinatown, which will get me to the feeder that I need to be on.
Because normally you go over to Michigan and go south?
Yeah, normally I go over to Michigan, I go south, I pass the Bean, I say, hello, Bean.
Hello, Bean.
Hello, good friend, Bean. And then the thing with the water that runs down.
Love that thing.
Kinda,
what do they call that one?
Kind of random.
Faces or something?
Just kind of random.
It?
Just sitting out there with people's faces of water running down.
Beautiful.
Okay. Well, okay. And Maggie Daly Park is over there.
Gorgeous.
All the good stuff.
Gorgeous.
Carm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be great. And the weather's going to be great. And the people will be out there celebrating the championship. So, congratulations.
Yeah. We haven't had one since 2016 when the Cubs won.
It's a long time now.
Those Hawks parades were fun, man. You remember? It seems like forever ago.
Yeah. 2015 at Soldier Field, right? Was 2015 at Soldier Field?
2015 was at Soldier.
2013 was in Grant Park. That was a big to-do. The Grant Park one was a big to-do. That's where we got
drunk Corey Crawford.
And drunk Corey Crawford and a Duncan Keith.
Quoting Mussolini, which isn't the best look. Although it is a great line.
It's a great line.
Like, what do you do in that situation? Yeah. Because it is such a... Okay, and here's the line, if anybody doesn't know. And I hate that it's attributed to someone as awful as Mussolini, especially as someone of Italian heritage. My grandfather fought against the fascists
in
World War. No,
He's
he fought
fascist.
Against the fascists, my grandfather.
I said.
In Italy. Oh, yeah, Mussolini was a fascist.
Mussolini was a fascist.
So, it pains me. But the quote is, better to live one day as a lion than a thousand. What is it? I think
thousand
it's
as a, lamb.
As a thousand years as a lamb, right? Yeah. Better to live one day as a lion than a thousand years as a lamb. And that's a, damn, man, that's
inspiring sometimes.
But Mussolini said it. And, you can't.
Consider the source.
So what do you do?
Consider the source, Carl.
Well, we can't really use that, right?
But did he steal it from somebody? He may have made it famous, but he had to steal it.
Yeah, let's just say Mussolini stole it from someone.
It could have been Confucius that first said it.
I hope someone much better than he was. And so then we can continue to use that line. But if Candace Parker got up there today and said that, you'd be like, yeah, that's awesome. Mussolini said, but that's awesome. Let's go. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the famous Duncan.
That was also
the drunken tirade by Corey Crawford, if you can remember.
Oh, I remember.
Which one? Which
The third round. Well, okay.
At the
be
Aragon,
more specific.
At the
Crawford
Brian?
Drunken tirades.
No. The one at the House of Blues.
All right.
That
there were a lot of drunken Corey Crawford.
But that one band was responsible for so much chaos for the Chicago Blackhawks.
But I know. But the Hawks. I mean, because the Hawks have their home opener tonight. I mean, if you would have told me in 2015 that go forward 6 years and they would have zero playoff wins, I'd be like, get out of here. There's no way. Right, Meller? I mean, there's just...
Ah, yeah.
You would have said that. I'm trying,
hold on. Like, didn't they beat Edmonton last year?
It's
not even.
That doesn't really count.
I don't even know if it does, because it was like that was the play-in round. It was, yeah, I don't even know how NHL. You know,
the Hawks got gifted like an opportunity to you can't even count that, Merck. That was COVID, and they got gifted an opportunity to be even in that thing.
It's so depressing that the home opener starts and the way they've started the season.
It's awful.
0-2-1, it's just, and they've looked awful.
Awful.
And you just keep looking at Jeremy Colliton and wondering how long he's going to be behind the bench, right?
You do. They fired Savard back in what, 2000? That would have been 2009, whoa, right?
I remember it.
They 2008, 2009
telephones
season.
Telephones were flying, Carm.
Yes, they were. Office. Yeah. Yeah. They fired Savard. I think it was four games in. You know, could they do something similar? I know Sylvie brought up a funny and interesting point yesterday, because there were articles written yesterday about how, like, I guess Taves and Kane had to come to Colliton's defense. And Sylvie said, listen, not for nothing, but if you've got to defend your head coach three games in, that ain't a good sign. You know, I don't know how to really properly assign the blame here. I don't. I don't have as much of a gripe probably as most Hawk fans with Colliton. I'm not saying that he's a good coach or a bad coach, really. I honestly, and this is kind of sad, I have no particular feeling or thought. And I think that's bad enough in its own right, that I really don't have much of a feeling about Colliton and his ability to coach his team or not. I do think they listen to him, and that's somewhat important. But, I mean, if you're coming out in the media already three games in and you got to defend the coach, probably not a good sign. I have much more of an issue with the way this roster has been constructed over the last few years than I do with Jeremy Colliton. We want to go down that road. Right. Hey, I'll fire away.
100% correct.
I mean, that's the problem.
The father's the legend. Remember that.
Yeah.
Not this guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, not whatsoever.
That's
the father's the legend.
That's the issue. And somehow he is like consolidated power over on the hockey operations side of things. We're talking about Stan Bowman, of course.
He inherited the roster that he had.
By and large. Now, Stan did a few good things over the years. I won't say that he's never had a good move. And Stan's actually, I'll give him credit for this, the Panarins of the world that they shipped out for nothing.
Right.
Look what the return is at the end of the day for Artemi Panarin. But the Panarins, the Kubaliks of the world, he has had a knack for getting over into Europe and kind of digging in with their scouts and finding some gems. Like, I'll give him that. There have been a few things, but by and large, the roster construction is flimsy.
Well, he can't identify a defenseman.
That's been a problem. Like,
can't identify it.
And how he has, we always, you know, you hear the term failed up a lot. Like, how he has somehow consolidated hockey operations power, I don't understand.
Well, he's a member of the Lucky Sperm Club, okay? His father helped solidify that. That's the truth. He's a member of the Lucky Sperm Club.
So, will Colliton get fired after tonight if they lose? Maybe. Again, I think the issues are much deeper than Jeremy Colliton. And as far as I can tell, just from listening to players and a few behind-the-scenes things I've heard over the years, like, they don't dislike him. You know, they think he's a good motivator. He relates to them. He's young. He's quiet. He's different, for sure. But I don't think he's disliked by that room, but they might not have a choice, because you can't keep coming out being down 2-3-0. But again, it speaks in large part to just the deficiencies of this roster and the way it's built. I think it's not a good team.
I think it's a combination, too. Like, fine, maybe
they're lacking on
defense for sure, and they have been for years, right?
Yeah.
But then when they go out and they do spend big money and try and fix that problem, it does seem like there's still issues, and I don't know if he's got the answers to the questions they have,
right? You might be right, and you might have no choice, because the guy that is putting the roster together does have consolidated power. And so you're right. I mean, when somebody's got to take the fall, guess who it's probably going to be? This continues. Jeremy Colliton ain't going to make Thanksgiving. He might not make Halloween, let alone Thanksgiving, if this continues. Let's face it, right, guys? I mean, that's just, unfortunately, you start running out of choices.
I had somebody trying to convince me the other day at the country club, Lincolnshire Country Club, that the Hawks were a better team. Saturday, he tried to convince me. Came in Sunday, he goes, I think you're right. All right. I go, listen, it's early in the year. I go, don't give up on them yet. I might be wrong in this situation. I said, they're a point-a-game team. I go, they will settle maybe at one, you know, like 85.
85 points.
86 yeah. points. 85, 86 points. You're out of the playoffs by a long shot.
So far, you got 1 in 3 games.
Yeah.
Though, so,
yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
not good.
Oh, they're on pace. You know, they're on pace.
That's not good.
You know, at some point, they're going to get on a streak when they play teams that are as bad as they are. But even though you got Kane and Taves, it doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't matter because you've got nothing on the blue line. You've got nothing on the blue line. The puck is in your zone.
Always.
All day.
Always.
Your whole shift is just trying to defend.
You said shift.
Shift. You're happy to get the puck out of the zone just so you can make a change. And then here it comes right back in again.
The days of prime Duncan Keith, Seabrook. Jalmerson.
Brian Campbell back in the
Soupy Campbell. Yeah. Who's our guy with the great beard that I love? The Swede with the great beard. Johnny Oduya. Young Nick Leddy. You know, yeah. even though Q had some issues with Nick Leddy, they shipped him up. The days of like all of these fast, puck-moving, swift defensemen that could, you know, get the puck out of the zone, skate you out of trouble. Yeah.
Jordan Henry.
Well, not Jordan Henry.
I love
you know,
Jordan Henry.
Those days are long gone, my friend, and it's ugly. So,
and then running four lines.
Home openers tonight.
Running four lines is gone, too. This team used to run four lines. They used to wear teams down. And it was the depth that was the key to that team.
It was.
And then you could start double shifting those guys late because they got all the energy in the world. That's a little bit for the afternoon show, you know?
I love it, though.
Let's not transfer it over here to ours.
Yurko, speaking of depth, you know, this is a week where you're going to have to lean on your fantasy depth. Do you know there are 6 teams on bye?
They are.
Surprisingly, Miami's not one of them coming off a London game, but I guess Miami turned it down.
Yeah, like, the team always has the choice.
They have the choice
when they go to play in London, right, whether or not they want their bye immediately afterwards or later in the year.
And so when they scheduled the season, Brian Flores says, no, we'll take it later in the year. Right now, I think you might be thinking, we could use a bye. Well, maybe not. Maybe you'd get fired if there was a bye. I don't know. So there are 6 teams on bye. You've got all these injuries, too. Now you got a Nick Chubb injury.
Yeah.
You know, you got Baker with this bum shoulder. Had a Hunt, short week. Is he going to play?
Kareem Hunt is hurt.
Kareem Hunt. So Meller, you're going to need Meller this week. Yeah. I have tight end issues because Dawson Knox got hurt last night, and Kittle's already on IR.
Yeah.
So I need Meller's help. In 1 hour, Meller will give you the fantasy focus as the fantasy waivers open across fantasy football leagues. You don't want to miss that. I want to play some Matt Nagy sound yesterday. Did he really? We'll explain that coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago.
Week 6 in the NFL is in the books. Week 7 starts in a couple of days with the Browns. I mean, you talk about a banged-up Browns team right now. Hosting the Broncos, where Cleveland's about a 3.5-point favorite. Baker Mayfield looked visibly upset and looked like he was in a lot of pain. Now, it's not his throwing shoulder, Yurk, but oof, they're talking about a tear in the labrum, and it keeps popping in and out, and he's been in a sling, and he was wearing a sling at the post-game press conference. Nick Chubb didn't play. Kareem Hunt got hurt. Not good. So, the short week, Browns and Broncos will kick off week 7. The Bears, of course, play a late afternoon game in Tampa. And that one could get ugly, and we'll spend the week breaking it down. Yurko and I, on Friday, after our regular show is done, we'll be on the air 10 at noon. We're going to drive out to one of our favorite places, Twin Peaks in Warrenville.
Oh, yeah.
The one in Warrenville, right off I-88 there, just south of I-88.
Yeah.
Where we've done shows many times over the years. And we're going to tape a special Football Friday podcast. We're going to hang from 1 to 3.
Yes,
so
we
come by and see us. The food is great. All scratch-made food in those kitchens. It's fantastic.
Ooh, I had the pot roast the other day.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh,
I love it.
With the mashed taters.
Love it.
Oh, they had a green bean and corn combination there.
So good.
I almost cried. That's how delicious it was.
I love it.
A little bit of onion in there, too, Carm.
I love it. I'm with you. I might get that.
Delicious.
And you pair it with a nice old-fashioned, because it is old-fashioned week.
It is.
So come hang with us. Kick off your Friday. Either, you know, grab a late lunch or just cut out of work early.
Yeah.
Hang with us. We'll eat. We'll drink a little bit. We will do a Football Friday podcast. That's 1 to 3. Twin Peaks in
Warren. We will talk about everything. I looked at the AFC yesterday because you go 6 weeks. This is the day to assess, kind of figure crap out, Carmen. I know you probably want to go 1,000 different directions.
Well, I'm going to play you some Matt Nagy sound in a second, too, but go ahead.
The AFC North and the AFC West. You know, Baltimore, obviously legitimate.
Yes.
Anybody in the AFC North, I think, could still make the playoffs.
Anybody in the yes, I think you're correct.
And anybody in the AFC West, with Kansas City being the fourth team in the AFC West,
yeah.
Anybody in the AFC West can make it. I don't have a lot of faith in Denver. I think Denver's going to drop off, and we're going to go hasta la bye-bye, start 3-0, lose 3 in a row, no good. But, man, Kansas City's going to try to be picking them up and putting them down and getting back at the Raiders and that. I like it. I like what I see in the AFC, but I think the more quality football is being played in the NFC right now.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. Denver is come back down to earth, and that is predictable because their first three games, look, they were a very sexy pick to be an over team going into the season. Their total was 8.5. And one of the sharpest plays was over the total for the Denver Broncos. And the reason was their first three games. And they won all three about in as predictably as possible. Vic Fangio against the rookie quarterback. I'm trying to remember who was on the schedule. It was Jets. So you had a rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson. It was a dreadful, you know, schedule of opponents, and it was a very easy start. And so the handicappers looked at that and they said, "This 9's going to be easy with 17 games because those first three are going to be win, win, win." Because I trust a few guys that were on that, I played it, and I think we're going to maybe spend the season sweating it. I have to be honest, as they are 3-3, and I think they are who we kind of thought. And I think Vic Fangio, unfortunately, well, I think he's a brilliant defensive mind. I think he's kind of what we thought as a head coach.
Exactly, yeah.
So that one we might sweat more than we thought to get to the 9. We'll see. But again, I did it just because some people I really trust were so bullish on it. So anyway, I digress. Here we go, Yerk. This is Matt Nagy yesterday. Why hasn't the offense scored more points? Pretty simple question.
For us, we understand we got to score more points every opportunity we get. Now, when you're looking at it, is it the amount of possessions that you have in a game? Are you getting takeaways on defense to flip the field and have a short field? What's your identity? The explosives to me right now are what signifies the big plays, which you can get more possessions through explosives. You're not driving the ball in 10-play drives all the time. You know, yesterday we were 2-for-2 in the red zone. So that was an emphasis for us, was be effective against that defense in the red zone. And again, you know, when you look at this, I really believe that for our team in general, big picture, we need to work together in all three phases, right? And that's going to be important. If we do that, and defensively we get three and outs, defensively we get turnovers, offensively when you get a turnover or three and outs, you're getting touchdowns. When, you know, not every game is going to be 40-40, but we can score more, and it's going to be complementary. Same thing with special teams, right? You know, just everybody field position working together.
My reaction was similar to yours.
Not every game is going to be 40-40. Are you? Can we get one that's just 27-24?
Yeah, I'll take that. My advice would be this: Matt Nagy, keep the defense out your mouth.
Yes.
You got no right, my friend, to talk anything about the defense not doing its job or holding up its end of the bargain.
All three phases need to play complementary football. Yes, we know. Don't try to blame the defense not putting you in enough good positions. By the way, you talk about possessions. 8 possessions apiece.
Yes.
8 possessions.
One team at 24 points.
When you decide to play because of the personnel that you have, slow, methodical, painstakingly 1970s football, which is what the Bears are doing right now because they have to, because of their personnel, to remain competitive in the league, you're going to cut down the amount of possessions that you have. And we already know you rely on the defense. That's basically him saying, we really have to rely on our defense to do something major for us so we can be mediocre offensively, because they're not mediocre offensively. They are terrible offensively. Terrible offensively. And anytime you got Justin Trubisky back there, you know, it's going to be an issue.
Justin Trubisky, take it easy. That's not fair.
He's playing the same way right now.
Doesn't he look different, though? Doesn't he pass the eye test a little bit more?
Against Detroit, yes. Against Detroit, he looked different.
I don't know, man.
He definitely looked different.
I still feel like he's passing the eye test more than Trubisky ever did. Trubisky looked like a deer in headlights more often than not.
There's times that Fields looks like. He does look like he's a deer.
All I know is Trubisky threw 5 touchdown passes against a team we're playing this weekend.
Yeah, that team also was like one of the worst.
Okay.
In the last 10 years defensively.
Wasn't it 6?
I think it was six.
Yeah. Okay, six.
That's like saying against the 70 Steelers that you did one thing, but against the 80 Steelers, look at what we did. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's so different, Mark. Come on, that's not a fair comparison. That team was totally different then.
I'm just saying.
They were dreadful defensively.
You don't think Trubisky gets that first down that Josh Allen slipped on last night?
Justin Fields.
Listen, quarterback controversy in Buffalo. Good point, Merck.
Justin Fields gets the benefit of the doubt because he's a rookie quarterback. Right. And he will for 2 years until when? You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision on him. That's when he'll get judged harshly.
I'll continue to remind Matt Nagy in case he's forgotten. We love this exercise.
Yeah.
And by the way, I had brain fog a little bit yesterday. Like, my math was, like,
I'm off.
25 and
fuzzy.
22 was 50. I'm like, wait. And I'm like, since 2019 was 70 games. I'm like, no, it's not 32 games a year, jackass. My brain was fogged up yesterday.
You were saying something. I was just agreeing with you because you had the paper in front of you.
What is the matter with me? Yeah. You know, like, what can I add for crying out loud?
I need to learn the new math. Yurko's always talking about.
Since 92. I gave you something from 1992.
Well, no, I know, but still. So since 2019, this is a 38 game sample, obviously. Here's where the Bears rank. We'll continue to remind Matt Nagy. He's got the nerve to mention the defense. Here's Matt Nagy's offense. 31st in the NFL in yards per play, 4.78. A paltry 4.78. Only the Jets are worse. 31st in net yards per attempt. 29th in third down conversion percentage, 34.9%. 28th in touchdowns. 26th in points per game. The Bears have ranked no higher than 25th in offensive DVOA each of the last two seasons. They are not updated for the week yet through week six on Football Outsiders. I looked this morning. They usually do it late today or tomorrow. Going into week six, the Bears were 31st in offensive DVOA. Could be 32nd by the time it's all said and done. We'll see. Remember, the Jets didn't play. 27th this year in explosive plays. 27th. But hey, they're getting better because last year they were 31st. And in 2019, they were dead last, 32nd. I could go on and on. At some point, I think you get the picture and I'll say, well, I don't have to do any more research. I think people get it. The Bears' offense is dreadful, has been dreadful, and Matt Nagy is supposed to be this offensive wizard.
Led by a dreadful offensive coach that doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
So don't you dare
and
talk about the defense not doing its job.
Jeff Mellor pointed a little bit earlier that you can't run against this team, and that's what the Bears do. I've got a way to run against Tampa.
Against Tampa?
I'm whamming them, and I'm cutting the living hell out of them.
This is going to be in the Bear Essentials, I think, on Friday.
Yes, defensive linemen hate when you're around their knees, and the cut block is a beautiful block when executed well.
Dangerous, but...
Well, then not a cut block. And the cut blocks aren't dangerous at all.
No?
No, well-executed cut block does exactly what it's supposed
to do. You just can't be engaged. You can't do it when the guy's engaged with another body,
with another
player,
and then all of a sudden you come chopping. That's a chop block. Did I say chop block?
No.
No, I said a perfectly executed cut block.
Did anybody ever perfectly execute a cut block against you? Or like, damn, that was
dangerous. Actually, I have. Yeah. That was pretty good, yeah.
But you got to be a little scared, right? Like,
my dilemma against Baltimore, we were playing against them. Wally Williams was the center, and the backside guy was Ogden, and on the other side was Jeff Blackshear. And both of those guys, when I'm engaged, because I wasn't letting Williams, they anticipated I was going to let Williams go.
And so you were engaged with
them. Because I let my linebackers flow unencumbered to the ball. That's what I'm there for. So as I'm engaged with Williams and I'm holding him, doing a little push-pull technique on him, they're coming at me, and I would just fire my legs and hold on to Wally Williams because he's trying to get away from me.
What do you mean fire your legs?
I just kick him out.
Oh, really?
So when he came at him, there was no pressure on my legs. I just kind of swing off of Wally Williams.
Really?
The center. You know, use him and just kind of swing my legs out so they couldn't get me.
Really?
You know, like I went dead leg on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to, Carm, to survive. They tore one of our guys' ankles.
See, that's what I wear.
180 degrees, Carm.
I don't want to hear it.
Looking the other way. And Kirk Ferentz was the offensive line coach. I wasn't always happy with Kirk Ferentz back then,
too. Before he went to Iowa.
Right before he went to Iowa. Not a happy camper with Ferentz at times. 180 degrees his foot was.
Oh, man, I don't want to hear that. That's awful.
It's not fun.
No, it's not fun.
Especially if you're that kid.
We will take some Bears calls coming up next. 312-332-3776. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Watch us live today and every day. Join the chat. It's sponsored all this week by 3Chi. So twitch.tv or download that Twitch app. You'll see us live in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios on this gorgeous Tuesday for mid to late October. I mean, it's autumn, but wow, is it beautiful outside. And what a day for a parade for the Chicago Sky to get their due. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
real quick before we get out to the phones, shout out time to a friend of the radio station and one of our partners, one of our colleagues up with Good Karma Brands up in Madison and in Milwaukee, Ben Brust, who played at Wisconsin, was a star, right, Merck?
University of Wisconsin.
I think second all-time in three-pointers
now. Shoot the lights out, Ben Brust.
Behind Bronson Koenig.
Big shot in the tournament, like damn near a half quarter.
Well,
I don't know. That was in the regular season, buddy, against Michigan.
Listen.
It was in a tournament against Michigan.
I call him Big Shot Ben. I don't know about you, but there's Big Shot Bob, and then there's Big Shot Ben.
Yes.
Ben Brust.
Nice one.
Has been named the radio analyst for all the Bucks home games for the Milwaukee Bucks on our sister station, WTMJ up in Milwaukee.
Oh, congratulations.
Congrats to Ben. That's fantastic.
Have you ever done the 15 questions, trivia questions with him?
No.
I've done it.
Ben, not for nothing, but, you know, come on. I'd like to do the 15 trivia questions.
Well, you could call him. I mean, I was on already last week before the Packers.
How'd you do on the 15 trivia questions?
Well, I got like 12 right. He only got 9 right.
Mm.
Hey, they're quick. You got to roll.
You got to go fast.
I missed, like, how many leaves do you have to have? Have on a certain plant to make it a
four-leaf clover?
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I go, six. I go, what? Six. That's all I said. Six.
I love it.
Yeah.
Let's say hi to Jim and Downers on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
So when you get on Nagy, I'm not really sure it's fair. When you take a look at the Bears, they put out a program this year that showed their draft picks over the last, like, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
78 to about 84 is the only time the Bears have drafted a decent group of players. They don't have the players on the field, so as much as
I know.
Criticize Nagy, he's got no talent. The Bears don't have the players to compete.
Roster construction's with the Blackhawks is a big part of the problem. Jim Yurko and I assigned the same amount of blame yesterday when we did that experiment. We both said it's kind of like 65-35. Still more on Nagy, but there's a lot of blame that goes on Ryan Pace.
Oh, yeah.
And they have drafted poorly, and they've missed on the first round. Roquan's going to be a big hit, thank goodness, because Roquan's a stud.
Yeah, you're trading all your stuff away, and thank heavens Khalil Mack.
You traded it all away.
He's got 6 sacks in 6 games, and Quinn has come in, and now he's got 5.5 in 6 games. So, you know, those guys are at least starting to perform a little bit.
For all the whining we've done over the years about the quarterback, rightfully so. Because of that, I feel like another position that they continue to swing and miss at, and it just goes somewhat unnoticed because we complain about the quarterback so much because it's so sexy, is left tackle. Now, I hope Tevin Jenkins is going to turn out to be okay and healthy player.
Right now, he's nothing.
Nothing.
He's nothing.
Let's start going through the list of left tackles that this team has drafted and developed since Jimbo. Jimbo was drafted in 1983, right? 83. Jimbo was in the 83 draft?
Yes, 83.
We're coming up on 40 years ago that Jimbo Covert was drafted by this franchise. 40 years. Who's the last great left tackle the Bears have drafted and developed? It's Jimbo, right?
It's not Troy Ozien.
No, it's not.
Right? Not Troy Ozien. I think we can be confident with that.
40 years ago.
Not Mark Colombo.
Unfortunately, no. Mark was more of a right anyway. Now, he did play a long time when he got over his knee injury, but that was an unfortunate set of circumstances. He hurt his knee, never fired here. He went to Dallas, and Mark had a decent career.
Not Chris Williams.
Buster.
Buster.
Jamarcus Webb.
Buster. Seventh round pick, though. You don't expect much out of him.
That's true.
Not Gabe Kareemi. He of the pencil legs.
Buster. Unfortunately.
Yeah. But Buster.
Hell of a kid, you know. Yeah. Great interview, but you couldn't play.
Yeah. I saw those sticks for legs, and I said, oh, boy.
So as bad as they've been at the quarterback, guys, that's another thing. Like left tackle. They haven't had a left tackle. They haven't drafted one since Jimbo. It's 40 years ago.
Yeah, let's go back and look at the left tackle.
Bear fan Bob on ESPN 1000. What up, Bear fan Bob?
Guys, good morning.
Morning, man.
You know, Yurko, you're absolutely right. I, too, was at the game. I got the double nosebleed seats up there. And long story short, Justin Fields and Coach Nagy, I don't know where the problem is. I haven't quite figured this one out yet. They don't challenge any of the defenders. You had guys all day single covered, and you only got one decent guy in the Packers' backfield, Amos, who can actually do something. The rest are guys maybe. Yeah. Why don't they do this? The middle of that field was open all day. When they finally decided to take Fields, throw over the top of the linebackers, what do you know? They scored a touchdown. Then they got away from it. Why would you do that? The Packers had a beautiful run, and I could describe it to you like this. Everybody, Packers were up at the line. I don't know if they had a running back, a tight end, or a receiver. Ran across, put them in motion. Rodgers just flips him the ball. He bounces out to the outside, and I don't know, he did pretty well. Got quite a few yards, and it was a time play perfectly. Why can't our Bears do things like this? It blows my mind. You know, a professional football team can't look like a professional offensive football team. And the defense did just fine Sunday.
Bear fan, Bob,
guys,
thanks.
Have a great day.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Bobby. You know, the Bears still can't execute a screen.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
And if, when it's open,
they still can't
the
do a
throw
screen.
Is off. When he's open, like, he'll drop the ball.
I know, and I love Herbert. But
when he's open, he doesn't set up his blockers. You know, yeah, a running back's got to set his blockers up on a screen.
They still can't do it.
You know?
They had one, and Greg Olsen designed it. Greg Olsen goes, well, they got, for some reason, they had two guys blocking one.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, they still can't do a screen properly.
And that was a quick screen.
It was a Mooney. It was like one of those little.
That was the quick screen. Yeah. Two guys on one, they let the other guy just come smack him in the face.
Yeah, it's like, guys, they still can't. Bubble screens, but running back screen, they still can't execute it properly. More your Bears calls coming up. 312-332-3776 is the number. It's Carmen and Yurko. We're back in 2 minutes.